Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the time together. I thank you, Lord, excuse me, for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for your spirit to illuminate the eyes of our understanding, to lead us into all the truth of your word. We're looking at Romans 6, but I want to go back and read a little bit in Romans 5. Before we get into 6, there's some things there. Let's just read in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. Then in verse 17 it says, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned, through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." So we got one man mentioned here a couple of different times. The first man, in verse 12, "Just as through one man sin entered the world," that's Adam. It's easy to know that, easy to understand that. Verse 14 says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses." Sin and death came in together. That's what it tells us in Romans 5, verses 12 through 21. If you would read that, it tells you that sin and death came in through Adam, but righteousness came in through the one man, Jesus Christ, where we read that, "Therefore, as through one man," verse 18, "therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." So we see that there's two men mentioned here, Adam and Jesus. The Bible calls Jesus over in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, it says that Jesus is the last Adam and the second man. God's first man, Adam, in the garden failed. God's second man, Adam, Jesus, in the garden succeeded where Adam failed. Jesus passed the test. And that's really the crux of the thing. However, Romans 6 tells us and gives us the result of what both of them did. When Adam did what he did, death came in and all men died, were separated from God, died spiritually and were separated from God. Jesus came to restore man to God. He didn't just come to bring man to heaven. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Now, he didn't say, shall we continue sinning? He said, shall we continue in sin? If you read the epistles of Paul, particularly Romans, he talks about sin as a thing. He differentiates between sin as a thing and sins as a verb, what we do. Man is condemned because he's a sinner, not because he sinned. He sins because he's of what he is. He's a sinner. He has sin in him. We got that from Adam. And if you don't differentiate between the two, then you really don't understand what God's talking about. Shall we continue in sin? Or I could say it this way, should I continue to walk in the mud? That's what it boils down to. Adam made a mess for everybody and smeared mud all over us, but we've had a had that washed away in Christ. So shall we? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. Let's read on. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? That's a thing that the church has to understand, that through Jesus Christ, we died to sin. And somebody says, no, not me, I still sin. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about what you do, it's talking about what you are. I died. Anybody that's born again is no longer, sin no longer abides in them. They didn't forget how to do it, but they're not a sinner, they're a son of God. Child of God. And that you say, well, but he sinned, he fell from grace. No, let's stay with Romans 6. Let's listen to what Paul says here. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or he says, do you not know? Now, Paul uses that phrase many, many different times about not, do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When, and you say, well, how did I get baptized into his death? Well, the church has taught us that being baptized into Jesus' death is what happened when you got baptized in water. But I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. I do believe in water baptism. I do believe in it. I do teach it. But water baptism is not what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Baptized into his death has to do with what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit." Only the Spirit of God can baptize you into the body of Christ. A man immersing you in water cannot, I'll say it again, a man immersing you in water cannot baptize you into the body of Christ. That's a work of the Spirit. Let me read it again. For by one Spirit, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, by one Spirit, excuse me, we were all baptized into one body. So you get baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. And here's what I believe how that happens. The moment you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. Paul says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe at that moment you're baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. That's the baptism that Apostle Paul speaking of here in Romans 6:3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, again, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. When you were baptized into the body of Christ, you were made a partaker of Jesus' death. Actually, in the mind of God, if you went back all the way to Ephesians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 3, it says, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I'm not even going to try to get into that today, but Paul does say that. And so when you received Jesus as Lord, you were baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, and that means in the mind of God you were in Christ when he went to the cross and died. You say, well, the day I believed on and received Jesus as Lord was 2,000 years after Jesus went to the cross. Well, you see, here's the thing we don't think about, brothers and sisters, is that God is not hindered by time. He does not operate in time. He operates in a place called eternity. And it's never yesterday or tomorrow in eternity. It's always now. And so, as far as God is concerned, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, you were in Him. In time, for you and me, it happened at a certain place and a certain point in time. That's where we are, but that's not where He is. He operates in a place called eternity. And there, like I say, there's no yesterday and there's no tomorrow there. And so, in the mind of God, you were in Christ when Jesus went to the cross. So when Jesus died, you died. Now maybe this will help you understand that a little more easily. If you think about if you knew one of your grandparents, say for your mama's daddy, say you knew him. Just say that man, your mama's daddy, died when he was 3 years old. Where would you be? Well, if you stop and think about it, you would be dead because you died in him. You were in him. And so that's natural. That's physical. But in the same way, just, you see, when Adam sinned in the garden, the reason we're all sinners, born into this world with sin, because we all come from Adam. We were in Adam when he disobeyed God. That's why we are born with a thing called original sin. And so it works that way in the spirit realm too. When God Almighty, the Son, came into this earth as a representative of man, and when he went to the cross and died, in the mind of God, you died in him. And that's what it says. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? I become a partaker of not only his death, but he's going to tell us here in a minute that we were also a partaker of his resurrection. Verse 4 says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. Because I was baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God, when Jesus Christ was buried, because I was baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God, when Jesus was buried, I was buried. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When he went to the cross and hung on that cross, you and I were there. When he was put into that tomb, you and I were there. When he came out of that tomb, you and I were there. And that's what Romans 6, 4 is telling us. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And in the same way as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I've been resurrected with Jesus. And because I've been born again, I've received Jesus as Lord and been baptized into his body. Not only am I a partaker of his death, his burial, but I'm also a partaker of his resurrection. And so I have resurrection life in me now. You have resurrection life in you now. We're not waiting to get it. The situation is we have to learn how to walk in it. We have to learn how to live out of that. Walk in the Spirit, Paul calls it. I could say live by eternal life, live by resurrection life. I have both of those. I have the eternal life of God. I have the resurrection life of Jesus in me. It's all the same, just different terms. Verse 5 says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, when I understand that I was baptized into his body, and when he was at the cross, died, if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. I cannot have been a partaker of his death and not be a partaker of his resurrection if I was baptized into his body. I have to be a partaker of both. And this is what Paul is telling us here. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Then verse 6 says this, knowing this, there's that word, knowing. In verse 3 he says, do you not know? Here he says, knowing this, that our old man was, not going to be, or should be, but if you in Christ, if you've been born again, your old man was crucified with him. It's a sure fact. The problem is, most folks just don't know it. The problem is, we weren't taught that. The problem is that our ignorance of what God has done in Christ keeps us from fulfilling the purpose of God here in the earth. So knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. My body no longer has, in Christ, my body no longer has the authority and the power to rule over me. Now you say, well, why does it? Because I let it. Because I don't know that I have the authority to function out of the spirit man and not out of my body. We were been raised in this present evil world, which the Bible in 1 John 5:19 says is under the sway of the wicked one. The devil don't want you to know who you are. The devil doesn't want you to know what you possess. The devil doesn't want you to know what you can do in Christ. He can't keep you from being saved, but what he's successfully done is kept us from knowing who we are in Christ. That's a big issue in the church. Something God told me years ago, my people don't know who they are, don't know what they possess, and don't know what they can do in Christ. And then, not only do we need to know who we are in Christ, we need to understand who he is in us as well. But we'll just deal with one thing at a time. I need to know who I am, what I possess, and what I can do in Christ. And what I am in Christ is a son. What I can do in Christ is live in a way that honors and glorifies God, and I can live in a way that my spirit man rules over my soul and my body. But I have to learn how to do that. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, or the footnote says rendered inoperative. That the body of sin might be rendered inoperative. That the body of sin doesn't rule. It's come under. That our old man was knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, or not a slave to our body. There's a very real aspect of that, that most Christians are ruled by their body. And we were taught that. We were taught to let our body rule. I'm not being critical, I'm just stating facts to you. Now, when we begin to understand that the old man, Romans 5 talks about one man. What one man did. The one man Adam brought in sin and death. The one man Christ brought in righteousness. Each one through an act of obedience to the Father. Disobedience or obedience. Adam disobeyed. Jesus obeyed fully. And brought in. But through one man's obedience. That's what it says. Verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many were made righteous. Jesus' obedience made righteousness available to us. Being restored back into right standing with God. Hallelujah. And so we're seeing here that there are some things we need to know. We need to know that when we received Jesus as Lord, we were baptized into his body. We were at that same time, I was baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. was made a partaker of that. Verse 5, if I have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now listen to verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Because you were baptized into his death, you died. The old man died. There's a new creation. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, that doesn't mean he knows how to live out of that newness. It just means you got a new spirit man. And here he says, he who has died has been freed from sin. I believe it means this, not only cleared from sin, but I've been made free from the power of sin, and I've been made free from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death. The power of sin brings condemnation. That's why Romans 8 talks about that those that are in there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. See, you're learning how to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But we'll get to that later. All right, he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, that does not say that you lost the capacity to commit sins. It says you've been freed from the rulership. You see, there's a word that's used, we didn't talk about it, but there's a word that's used in Romans 5 that has to do with rulership. Romans 5:17 says this, for if by one man's offense death reigned through that one. That word reigned has to do with a kingdom. Reigned, R-E-I-G-N-E-D. Death reigned or ruled like a king. That's why Paul says in Colossians about being translated out of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So this, what happened was, when Adam sinned, we became subject to the kingdom of darkness, sin and death. Death reigned. That's when man got into the kingdom of darkness. But in verse 21 it says, well, let's read 20. 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that verse 21 is actually talking about what happened when Adam sinned. Death reigned because of what Adam did. But eternal life, grace, reigns through the righteous obedience of Jesus Christ. We were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, we all know how to live in the kingdom of darkness. Just because you've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son does not mean you know how to live there. You have to learn how. Brothers and sisters, that's why Jesus' last commandment to the apostles on the Mount of Ascension was to make disciples. That's why he said make disciples. And as we learn how to live in the kingdom, we learn how to overcome. We learn how to be and do what God's called for in our lives. And so what we're learning here is that there are two kingdoms. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness, which Adam opened the door to. for mankind, and we all entered in because he did. Then there's the kingdom of God's dear Son, which Jesus opened the door to. And if you've been born again, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. All your life previous to your salvation, and maybe even afterward, you lived out of the kingdom of... You can be born again and still live by the rules of the kingdom of darkness, just not know that you don't have to. What discipleship is about is teaching you how to live by the laws of the kingdom, learning how to walk in the spirit of life that God has given you. And so that's a very real thing but we have to learn how. I don't automatically know how. Just because I'm born again doesn't mean I automatically know how. A baby that's born can learn how to walk, but he has to learn how. He has the capacity to learn. He has the capacity to learn how to talk, but he has to learn how. If somebody don't teach him, if a baby could be raised without any, if a baby was raised around people that couldn't talk, he'd never learn to talk. He'd just make noises. He'd make up his own language. And that's what a lot of folks do. The church has its own language, and that language that the church has is not necessarily the language of the kingdom. That's a hard saying, but it's really true, because none of us were taught how to live by the kingdom precepts. We learned how to live out of the precepts from the church, and there's a difference. What the denominational groups, church groups teach is not necessarily kingdom principles. Not necessarily. I'm not saying none of them are. I'm just saying we didn't necessarily learn how to walk in kingdom precepts. It's a process. It takes discipleship, and the church hasn't discipled. We've made lots of converts, but we didn't necessarily disciple people into the kingdom. We discipled them into the church, our church doctrines. And I'm here to tell you that church doctrines are not necessarily all doctrines of the kingdom. We just leave it at that for the moment. We can go back to that later. Now, Romans 6:7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. You go tell somebody that you've been made free from sin, they're going to look at you and think you're crazy, because they don't know what the book says. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Death had dominion over Jesus for a moment. He spent 3 days in the tomb. There was a moment when death had dominion, but it says death no longer has dominion over him. If it says it no longer has dominion, it's also saying that there was a moment, a period of time, when death did have dominion. It's when he was in the grave. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died, this is verse 10, the death that he died to sin once for all. He didn't die that death for himself. He died that for you and me. He died that first in obedience to the Father, and secondly, for you and me. It was the Father's will that he do that. So that's the first reason he did it. And don't ever forget that. He didn't come just for you. He came for obedience to the Father. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. He was come out of the grave with resurrection life, and the life that he lives to God. And that's the issue. That's where the rubber meets the road. We have to learn how to live the life that we live unto God. Most of us don't. I didn't say you weren't saved. I'm not talking about not having salvation. I'm talking about learning how to live in the kingdom. For the death that he died to sin once for all. He died to sin for you and me. But the life that he lives to God. He lived to God before. Jesus said in one of the Gospels, I can't give you the verse right now, but you can find it. He said, I always do the things that please my Father. John chapter 5 and chapter 8 and chapter 12, he in effect says, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. He was saying, everything I do pleases my Father. He's a Father pleaser. So the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Verse 11 says, likewise, or in the same way, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have to learn that you died in Christ and you were resurrected in Christ. So if you died in Christ, you're dead to sin, but you were resurrected with Christ, so you're alive to God in Christ. You can reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin in Christ, and you can reckon yourself to be alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12 says, therefore, or because of these things, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Sin, you've been delivered from the power of sin, but it still wants to rule. You have to continue to operate under the lordship of Jesus. You can be saved and not be operating under the lordship of Almighty God. He is your Lord. See, that's what we do when we miss the mark. We step out from under the lordship. So, oh my God, you saying people can sin and still be saved? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, your salvation don't go away. You know, people make a bottle of beer more powerful than the blood of Jesus. They do. They say, well, a guy died drunk. He's a Christian, but he died drunk. He went straight to hell. Well, that means a bottle of beer is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. I personally don't think that's true. Am I promoting dying drunk? No. Not promoting drinking either. I'm just saying that the doctrines of the church sometimes are not biblical. We have to find out what God said, not what somebody said it said. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, or because of this, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as, that's talking about your body, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. You see, I'm either presenting my body, when Paul says your members, he's talking about your body. Do not present your body as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. It's my choice. I get to choose. Our problem is we let circumstances and situations cause us to get in a hurry, and we don't choose wisely. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to God, but present yourselves, your bodies, to God as being alive from the dead. I've been resurrected. And present my members as instruments of righteousness to God. And then he says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I can live in such a way that sin doesn't rule, but rather Jesus rules in my life. You see, the church has delegated the lordship of Jesus just to getting you to heaven. The lordship of Jesus is not just about getting you to heaven. The lordship of Jesus is about causing the kingdom to come in your life today here in this earth. That's what it's all about. That's absolutely what it's about. It's not God's purpose is not just to get you to heaven. The lordship of Jesus is about you living in such a way, and that's why he says, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members, your body, as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. I'm not under the dominion. I'm not under the lordship of sin. I'm under the lordship of Jesus. And the lordship of Jesus is about me living in this present evil world as a kingdom man. It's not just about getting me to heaven. Praise God. Well, I'm going to stop there. Let you have some time to meditate on that. God bless you.